Coming up on the Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny, we will get you set for another week in the NFL. We'll go around the league, and we're checking in on the Commanders with our buddy Michael Phillips ahead of their matchup with the Carolina Panthers. As promised, you got a call right now at 800-636-1067. If you're the 10th caller, you will win a pair of tickets to see the Capitals take on Montreal on Halloween night, October 31st, Capital One Arena. For tickets and the complete cap schedule, visit thefandc.com/contests. The DMV's football team's got a great-looking future. You got to think about yours. Our exclusive sponsor will help you do that. Kondori and Murad are going to take care of you. They'll get you squared away. Last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. Get a consultation. Mention us. You'll get a discount. KMLawyers.com. That's KMLawyers.com. Friday field trips. This is a great way to kick it off.
It's not bad.
Leesburg's going to be tough to top between the shrimp and the hospitality and all the cool fans that have come out and chatted with us today. It's been really, really cool. Spanky's Shenanigans. We're going to be here until 6:30. Still a couple more hours. So as you get out of the office, you're in the Leesburg area, come on by and say hello. Darius, real quick before we go to the Beltway Blitz, I need the game show music one more time, please. I will take the game show music because I see a number 17 at the sports bar. Now, whatever you do, don't turn around.
Don't turn around.
Don't turn around.
Don't
all right?
Turn around.
The game is going to be, is this a Doug Williams or is this a Jason Campbell or might it be a make your own?
Terry McLaurin?
It can't be Terry McLaurin. That's not an option.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not going to be Terry McLaurin. I already asked him.
You already know?
Yeah.
Oh, you come with partner.
It's definitely not Terry McLaurin.
All right. Let me look at it. Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Doug okay. Williams, Jason Campbell, or a make your own?
Who is Jason Campbell?
Jason Campbell. I'm going to go with Doug Williams.
Show me potato salad.
All right, turn around. His last name is McLaurin. It's a trick. It's not Terry McLaurin. His last name is McLaurin. Mm. It was a make your own.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like
it? I didn't like how that went.
All right.
I'd like to get one right.
That's fine.
So far, I'm 0 for 2. I lost the, is it Arakpo, Armstead, or make your own? I lost the inaugural version of that game, and then I just lost Campbell, but not definitely not McLaurin. McLaurin game. I don't like losing like this.
It is time for the Beltway Blitz. Let's get to it. And we will go around the NFL. Week 7 looms. Here's your best game on the slate. Vikings-Lions. Who had Minnesota 5-0?
Not me.
Off of a bye. Detroit is 5-1. By the way, the NFC North is awesome.
Yes.
The Bears would be in the playoffs right now. The Packers would be in the playoffs. Four really good teams. Our buddy Zach Kruger joins us now. How do you see this game going? What's the injury situation looking like for Vikings-Lions?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Happy to be on with you again. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Grant. Super exciting game this week between the Lions and the Vikings. Not many people had the Vikings sitting at undefeated heading into Week 7, yet here we are. Certainly some more injuries on their side than the Lions. Lions looking relatively good heading into this one. But two key ones for the Lions, one who they've been without all season long, that's T.J. Hockenson. He enters this week questionable officially after being limited in practice all week. The Vikings do not need to play him. His 21-day return window does buy them a little bit more time. They don't want to force him out on the field in this week, but there had been reports earlier, even dating back to the offseason, that they were eyeing a Week 7 return. So we'll see what happens there with Hockenson. We obviously know what he provides that offense. Career highs last season in receptions with 95 in yards, 960. Also scored 5 times. So Hockenson would be a big piece back for an offense that's already been clicking on all cylinders. Another big part of that has been Aaron Jones. He's officially questionable after being limited in 2 of the 3 practices this week. Injured in Week 5, had a bye week in Week 6, which was able to buy him some time. But Jones has been a stud for them, averaging over 103 yards from scrimmage this season after what was a down 2023 with a hamstring injury. Some people thought the age curve may have started catching up to him after he's now entering his age 29 season. But he's been great. If they get Jones back, that's obviously huge for them. And then if Hockenson comes back too, that just adds to, you know, an offense that's already one of the best in the league.
So Bills-Titans, good landing spot for the Bills here after a much-hyped divisional game there with the Jets against a Titans team that's pretty bad. What do you know about James Cook? I think a bunch of everybody spent their waiver budget on Ray Davis, and it looks like maybe James Cook's going to play. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I got bad news for the Ray Davis folks. Now, it's not all bad news, but James Cook was limited on Wednesday, upgraded the full Thursday and Friday. He's off the injury report. He's going to go. So that toe injury, that sidelining in Week 6 is going to be a non-factor. We hope heading into Week 7 he'll be active. Ray Davis was actually the only person who was injured on the Bills injury report when it was released later on today. He's questionable with a calf injury after last week's big performance. We'll see what happens. I would still expect James Cook to handle his normal assortment of snaps and touches, even if Davis is healthy. He averaged just over 16 touches per game through the first 5 weeks. So I think James Cook will be good to go. And then obviously the other fun one here is Amari Cooper, not injured, but recently acquired. Fox Sports' Jordan Schultz said that he heard a report from an insider that Amari Cooper will play despite Sean McDermott playing kind of close to the vest. So Cook back and Amari Cooper expected to play based on some reports from earlier in the day.
Commanders fans are going to be super interested in Giants-Eagles in the NFC East. If New York can knock off Philly, it'd be a huge help to Washington. Eagles, just not impressive. They barely beat the Browns last weekend, and Nick Sirianni was yelling at fans after the game. Is Malik Nabers going to play for the Giants to help them out?
It's been a weird week for Malik Nabers. He is currently also another player who was removed from the injury report. So we know he suffered that concussion back. I'm even blanking on this. It's either week 4 or 5. I know it was against the Cowboys. But he suffered that concussion. He missed 2 games. He finally cleared concussion protocol yesterday, only to pop up on the injury report with a groin injury. Now, he was listed as a full participant on Thursday and Friday. They have since removed him from the injury report. They've downplayed the severity. Malik Nabers appears to be good to go on all accounts. He's had 52 targets through the first 5 weeks of the season. He's missed 2 games. A 38% target share for Nabers actually leads all wide receivers in the NFL. So that's obviously a big one back to the Giants. And then Devin Singletary, expected to go. Brian Daboll said he will play, but rookie Tyrone Tracy is expected to get, quote, plenty of playing time after impressing in his first 2 starts of the season, racking up 237 total yards and a touchdown. So the Giants are getting healthy at the right time. Now, who knows if that matters? You still got Daniel Jones and you're still the Giants. So I'm not sure if that's going to matter too much, but Nabers being back is certainly big for real and fantasy purposes.
Let's go to that Steelers-Jets game. Some intrigue, a quarterback for Pittsburgh, and the intrigue, I guess, for the Jets. They're running out of time. They need to start winning. So Davante Adams going to go? What do we think?
Yeah, I think Davante Adams is going to go. The report I saw earlier today while kind of running through things suggested that the coaching staff was more than pleased with what they saw. The hamstring injury that supposedly plagued him while with the Raiders maybe turned out to be more of a location thing than a real injury thing. He's in New York. He's feeling a lot better now. I think Adams will go. And then for the Steelers, Russell Wilson. Pretty much everyone in the Steelers is willing to say Wilson is starting, with the exception of Mike Tomlin, who said he's decided, but he's keeping it in-house. Justin Fields said on Thursday he didn't think he played well enough to keep the job. Russell Wilson said that Sunday is going to be his first game. And then George Pickens, moments after Tomlin said, let's keep this close to the vest, literally said, I've been practicing a lot with Russell Wilson after practice because he's making his first start on Sunday. So the Steelers are going to try to play it kind of coy, but it's looking like it's going to be Russell Wilson in Week 7 against the Jets.
Zach, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
See you, buddy.
All right, let's get the lowdown on the Commanders as they get ready for the Panthers.
The Washington Commanders.
Michael Phillips, the Richmonder, Richmond, Virginia, also part of our Odyssey family. You hear him right here on 9:10 a.m. and 105.1 FM if you were listening in Richmond as we speak. We're also live all over the DMV on the flagship 106.7. We are streaming on video on 106.7, the fans' YouTube page. Michael, Commanders, Panthers, what's your gut feel?
Well, it is obviously a game they need to win and should win, right? First time we've really said that in the Dan Quinn era. I know they were favored against the Browns, but this feels like the first take-care-of-business game. The injury report's out, and you know there's 5 guys listed for the Commanders, and there's a lot of guys listed for the Carolina Panthers. You add in that they haven't really been a great team this year to start with. They match up well on paper. This is the next step in becoming the team you want to be, is handling your business in a game you should win. They're 8-point favorites. It's the NFL any given Sunday, all those cliches, but I'd be pretty disappointed if they don't pull this one out.
One of the folks out here at our Leesburg event hanging out at Spanky said, hey, should we be worried that Wagner and Luvu have just kept not practicing? I always say if they're listed as rest, then I don't really care that much. But this happened with Brian Robinson, then he didn't play.
Yeah, are they going to rest on Sunday,
so,
too?
I don't expect to see Dorrance Armstrong. I know he was a DNP. But then with Luvu and with Wagner, like, what is going on?
Yeah, you know, I said with Brian Robinson last week, you guys maybe even had me on Friday, and it was like, oh, you know, I just figure it's veteran rest, you know, hey, you'll be ready for the game, everything good, and then all of a sudden, whoa, it's not good. That's concerning. What's not concerning, you know, is when guys get back on Friday, do the walkthrough. That's just veterans getting taken care of. I've been very impressed by what Bobby Wagner's brought in terms of energy and intensity this year. I'm a little surprised Frankie Louvu is in that veteran camp. He may actually be working through something, but I love seeing him full participant today in the walkthrough style practice, ready to go. Dan Quinn clearly not afraid to do the club, Dan, and let guys work their way to the weekend, especially on that defensive side of the ball. We really haven't seen it as much on the offensive side, and that may be a reflection of having a rookie quarterback and really wanting to maximize those reps each day.
Yeah, seen here a couple places. It looks like Dorrance Armstrong ruled out for this weekend. I don't know if that's official or not, but that's just
Dan Quinn said it.
Okay, there you go.
That is official,
so,
yep.
Yeah, so, Miguel, in this one, I just see two teams that probably can't stop one another. And I see Carolina being able to stop Washington less, if that makes any sense. I just think they're not as good at doing what we do as we are doing what we do.
That's exactly right. I think that's a pretty spot-on analysis there where, you know, there's a reason the over-under is so high on this game. People do think Carolina is going to be able to score on Washington, and I agree they probably will. If I would point to anything encouraging, it's that this defense, while it has faded pretty hard, it has been good out of the gate the last couple weeks. They bought the offense the time they needed against Cleveland. They were very good against Lamar, got the interception, which was a bit of a fluky interception. It's still nice to have one early against Baltimore. That's what you need. You need a defense that's going to make a lot of stops in the first quarter, get up early, and even if it ends up being a hold them at arm's length situation, you don't want to be trailing in a game like this. That's not good for anybody.
Michael, the Richmonder, tell people what they need to know.
Yeah, richmonder.org. I'll just diverge for a second here because it's local news for the people of Richmond, but you'll appreciate this. We're doing background on the school board candidates, and we found out that one of them had been arrested 3 times for embezzling, which seems relevant if you're running for school board. So our reporter called him, and he said, "It's true, but I've been diagnosed as a kleptomaniac, and I'm getting treatment, so I think I'm okay to serve on the school board." That's the kind of news you need to know in your community, and we're here to provide it, Grant.
I have follow-ups. I wish this was a different program.
I have lots of follow-ups. Maybe I'll have to call you. I don't know if this
is
the
platform. Meet the press.
I don't know what I'm allowed to do. Okay, anyway, our prediction for Sunday.
See you guys Sunday. Should be a fun one, and man, hope they get through it because I am looking forward to this Bears game. I think it's going to be another week with a lot of hype, a ton of fun, but we got to get there first.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank
we appreciate you,
buddy.
Now, to be clear, Danny, he did not dodge your prediction. I think he thought you said see you Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not.
And he was responding.
I'm not worried about it. We're all a little thrown off. I was not ready for that.
That was wacky. I did see that tweet today, and I was like, bro, this is kind of a show.
The first time I got away with embezzlement, I thought this is good. The second time I got caught, I was like, maybe I should stop, but I'll do it one more time. It was the third time I decided I should probably do something different.
This is the time.
The third time I was caught with embezzling. Oh, man.
Darius, can you fire up a little Ryan Explains It All music for us, please? I want to sneak this in on our way to break.
Okay, yeah.
For those of you that are regular listeners to the program, every now and then our producer Ryan Clary joins us to explain something. He's a young guy. He's a young lad. But he's got a lot of knowledge. He wants to help people learn about things.
Wise beyond his years.
How old are you, Mr. Clary?
24 years old.
24
years. Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Clary.
Ryan Clary's 24.
Right? So occasionally, we just like to get to the bottom of some things with him. So, Danny, what would you like Clary to explain to the people in Leesburg today? And I want to tell you guys, he doesn't know what we're about to pitch his way.
Right.
And he's not making anything up. Okay? So whatever you hear is actually how he's going to explain this.
We are streaming the show live. We are looking up information in real time using Wi-Fi. What's Wi-Fi?
Well, I can tell you this. Wi-Fi is what connects the internet,
yep.
First and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
So
connects the internet. That's
it connects
good.
The internet.
That's a good start.
So I can tell you this, that it starts off with the router, and that router comes from a cable providing company. It could be Verizon. It could be Xfinity.
These are company names.
Cox. These are company names.
Okay.
And so these people, they deliver the router right to you. And basically what this box does, which is called a router, by the way.
A router, yeah.
So we've covered that, router.
Yes, we have covered the router. It's a box that just kind of gives out Wi-Fi.
It gives it out.
So it allows us to connect that said Wi-Fi to the router, which then allows you to use the internet and whatever else you may need to use that computer.
Okay. I think
so
I
how
this.
Does wireless internet work? Like, let's say you don't have wireless in your town and you want to get it. You just get a box? You just get a
router.
Get a router.
No. So it connects I don't really know, to be honest with you. If I'm just being 100% honest with you right now. But
what's your best guess?
My best guess is that it comes in that box of a router. If you get a router, then you are able to have wireless Wi-Fi that works in a certain radius.
Anywhere. So, like, if they don't have wireless in a village somewhere, we just got to send them a router, and now they got it.
Sure.
As long as there's a power supply. So, like, let's say I'm in the Sahara, but I've got an extension cord that's super long to the next bit of civilization. I can plug it in. I can plug in my
router,
and I've got Wi-Fi?
Oh, yeah. You good?
Oh.
All right.
It's all within that radius.
I feel like
have you ever been on AOL Instant Messenger?
Have not.
Do you know what that is?
I've heard of it from you guys, but I have never used it, nor have my friends ever used it. So,
we actually have that in common. You always sleep on this, Grant. That was after me.
That's insane. The away message. Got to think of something witty.
I didn't have a home message and away message. None of it.
Unbelievable.
None of it.
G&D with you out and about. It's Field Trip Friday. First time we're doing this in Leesburg. Spanky's Shenanigans. We're going to be on the road every single Friday. On Grant and Danny.
And you can stream the show anywhere. You just need what? A router. You get a router, stream the show.
The 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. Next, Daryl Green is going to have his jersey retired this weekend by the Commanders. What is your favorite Daryl Green memory? We're going to discuss that right here on G&D. G&D on the Fan. I'm fired up. Young Grant Paulson.
Yes.
Okay? Keeping stats.
We Grant Paulson.
For the King George High School Foxes on the sideline back in the day. Used to get steamed up when we go power. I used to love it when we went fullback dive with Jim Rishmowy. I've told y'all many a time about a Friday night when Jim Rishmowy's going for a bill. Right?
It was almost to the point where I'm like, this is Al Bundy, Polk High, four touchdowns in one game type stuff.
Yeah.
Except it wasn't you. It was like this guy that you knew.
I don't see Jim Rishmowy anymore. It's been many, many, many years.
How could you see Jim Rishmowy?
Jim Rishmowy right now at Friday Field Trip in Leesburg, Spanky Shenanigans.
That's how you know it's a big deal. That's how you know it's a big deal.
Come on. Two bills against Chancellor for a district title?
Now, if you're a Chancellor alum, sorry about it, but you're going to have to relive this for a second. All right? Jim Rishmowy, Maui Pineapple Chicken. Right down the gullet, couple hundy, and that's two tutties.
Couple hundy.
That's two tutties.
Nothing you could do about it.
That's tough.
You knew it was coming. You couldn't stop it.
Hey, guys, fastball. Doesn't matter. Hit it.
There's nothing better than, like, reliving high school football memories on a Friday before Friday Night Lights. You know, right here locally, so we're in Leesburg. Kedrick Golston's coaching up Stonebridge, former Redskin. You know who's on his staff, by the way, over at Stonebridge High School?
Who's that?
Rock Cartwright and Kerry Campbell, two former Redskins. Independence High School, which is somewhere out here, I don't know where. Logan Paulson is the offensive coordinator and play caller, dialing it up. You think that offense is probably pretty good?
Bet you it's okay.
He's got Will Montgomery coaching up the offensive line. They've got two guys that were on Ron Rivera's staff on that staff. Now, save your jokes, okay?
There are jokes to be made. I'm going to holster them. I'm going to put them right in my pocket.
I'll bet they're good coaches at this level.
Yeah, at that level. They're available for other jobs, too.
But
all right, that's enough. That's enough.
The point,
that's enough. I couldn't help. You're right.
I said holster them.
I took them out.
The point of the dude's story is next week, Independence plays Stonebridge. I told Kedrick today.
Blood feud right there?
It's just like eight former Redskins that I covered on the sidelines. I'm like, I got to be there. So I'm going to go to the game. It's at Stonebridge High School.
Well, speaking of high school football memories, we're approaching the 30th anniversary of the St. Albans Bulldogs defeating the number two ranked Landon Bears at Landon. One of the greatest football games I've ever seen. All the alums are actually going to have like a 30th anniversary celebration.
Do they play football at St. Albans?
They do. We calculate a bunch of stuff too. Now you sleep, but Charles Snowden, that's a St. Albans alum, made a sack to win the Raiders a game. He joins fellow NFL alumni John Ogden, Lester Hayes, among a couple. There's Nick Lowry, field goal kicker, played in the pros.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of pros for the St. Albans School for Boys.
Who was the guy that made the play in the game 30 years ago?
Well, there's a bunch of guys.
But just one of them.
Jason Cross.
Right? I'll see your Jason Cross. I'll raise you a Jim Rishmowy.
Now, Jason Cross. Jim Rishmowy is here, so we're going to talk about it. I'm not comparing, but here's a comparison. Jason Cross had to miss a game after he had 46 carries to beat Georgetown Prep. He had to walk with a cane for a couple of days afterwards because he was a little beat up physically. So they sat him out the next game and then ran him right back against the Landon Bears.
Jim never had 46 carries because he scored too quick.
Ah, it was an issue.
You can't get 46 carries if you score when you touch the football.
That's fair, you see what I'm saying?
That's
true, yeah.
Let's talk about other greats. Greats that actually people listening right now have seen when they weren't at King George High School or St. Albans.
Yeah, 30 years ago. You guys weren't there?
Darryl Green is going to have his jersey retired.
28, man.
By the Commanders. I thought we could do a little reminiscing here and open up the phones at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Maybe in-house we could grab a couple of people's thoughts as well, see what they think about their memories of Darryl Green. But when you think about Green, what is your number one all-time, first thing that comes to mind, moment about one of the greatest Redskins who ever lived?
There's one moment. It's not even close. Seven-year-old, I would turn eight that year, January 10th, 1988. The Chicago Bears are still one of the juggernauts in the NFL. That 85 Bears team is, frankly, one of the best in NFL history. They were still nasty, still excellent. The Giants won the Super Bowl the following year. Washington lost to them, I believe, in the NFC title game. They got shut out, but that great Giants team. And it was a strike year. Everything was weird, but Washington had a great football team, but the Bears were still pretty great in their own right. The game was tied 14-14, and any time Darryl Green went back to return a punt, you knew it was a big deal. Joe Gibbs didn't do it every time because Darryl Green wasn't the biggest fella, but he would do it when they needed something special. And wouldn't you know, Darryl Green delivered something special. He took that punt 52 yards to the residence, sprained a ribcage muscle or something in his abdomen, hurtling over somebody on the way. Touchdown, Washington wins, go to the NFC title game, where, by the way, the following week he makes a huge play at the goal line on fourth down to send them to the Super Bowl, which they would win over the Denver Broncos with the greatest quarter in the history of mankind. Give me that Darryl Green punt return for a touchdown. Young Randy Douye, bowl cut, 48 pounds of fury, jumping up and down and screaming to the point that I nearly passed out at home. The absolute euphoria, the joy, the unbridled happy Darryl Green, 28, on January 10th, 88. Nothing close.
That's pretty good. I'm not going to top that. That's a good memory. I'm going to make it selfishly, though, the first thing I remember. Okay, so my earliest memories of football for this organization are actually right around 1994. I have no recollection of this team winning Super Bowls. I know it happened. I have no recollection of this team being great. My mom would sit there. She made me a fan. We would sit side by side. Sunday was laundry day and football day. That's what we did. What do they say in Maryland? Crab cakes and football?
Crab cakes and football.
For the Paulson, Sunday was laundry day and football
day. Laundry and football.
So I'd sit there with Janine Paulson, and we'd watch the games. And I remember one of the earliest memories I ever have had for Washington would have been a game against the Detroit Lions, and I've looked it up here. It was October 22nd, 1995. So I was 7 years old. It's week eight of the 95 season. The two teams are in a shootout going back and forth, 800 combined yards, which at that time was a pretty big deal. It's the end of the game. Washington gets a 39-yard field goal from Eddie Murray. Remember him?
Eddie Murray.
Not the Orioles switch-hitting slugger.
No, it's not the same guy that had more than 500 homers as a switch hitter in Major League Baseball.
Not that guy. And not Eddie Murphy, the actor. Definitely not him either.
Okay.
The guy from Dr. Doolittle. That always bothers you when I...
Yeah, that's what he's most known for, Dr. Doolittle.
He was great in Dr. Doolittle.
He actually was, because he's incredibly talented.
Was he in other stuff?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, not him. Eddie Murray. Washington, led by Gus Frerotte, gets the football after overtime, drives inside the 40, they stall, they end up punting in plus territory, and the Lions get the football back at their own four-yard line. Pick six, walk-off winner, Darryl Green in overtime, 36-30 win, and the victory gave the then Redskins, who were 3-5 for the season, a shot at a year. Like, let's go have a campaign. Mm-hmm. The season's not over. Darryl Green just saved the day at 35 years old. That's my first on-the-field memory of Darryl Green.
Great pull on that one. Because that was one of those the dark times.
Oh, yeah, for you, that's like you put those away. That's what my formative years.
And that's
like,
all
that
you had.
That moment was like, oh, I get to cheer? We won a game? That's pretty cool.
So that was post-Pettibone. That's that's Norville Eugene?
Yeah, 95, yeah, post-Pettibone. I've told this story on the air before, but I'll make it quick and tell it again. The first time I ever met Darryl Green was a very formative experience and actually like a lesson learned for me. So 1999, I'll save all of the details somebody cares about, but I'm at training camp as a 10-year-old doing interviews for Channel 9 in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Long story. But I'm there, and I'm lucky enough to get to do these interviews as a kid reporter. So I'm at training camp, and I'm going up to every player all week long, and I'm saying Mr. whatever their name is. Ken Harvey's Mr. Harvey. Dana Stubblefield's Mr. Stubblefield. Dan Wilkinson's Mr. Wilkinson. Brian Mitchell's Mr. Mitchell. I'm meeting all my heroes. I'm a fifth grader. I am just so happy. My favorite player, of course, like every other kid at the time, was Darryl Green. And I've been at training camp for like 4 days. I've done 30 interviews. I have not yet seen Darryl Green. So finally, this is in Frostburg, if you remember, where they used to train.
Yep.
I'm in a little cafeteria on campus, and there is Darryl Green getting his food on a tray like he's a student, walking through the line, setting his food down, coming back up to get his drink. And I walk up to him. Now, mind you, I have approached roughly 35 players this week and said, Mr. whatever, can I have an interview? And they have all said, don't call me Mr., that's my dad, call me Danny or whatever.
Right.
Every single one of them. So I walk up to Darryl Green. All I wanted the whole week was to meet Darryl Green. And I say, hey, Darryl, how are you? My name's Grant. I'd like to chat with you at some point. And he looks at me and goes, respect your elders. Call me Mr. Green.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I thought I was doing the cool thing. I thought I was.
I'm a regular guy, right?
Exactly. And subsequently, we had a great relationship. All he was awesome to me for many, many years. And we still, to this day, will have him on the show and talk to him. But every time I see him, to this day, I walk up to him.
Hello, Mr. Green.
And I say, hello, Mr. Green. How are you? To this day. But that is the first time I ever met Darryl Green. In a cafeteria on Frostburg's campus that our producer, Darris, who went to Frostburg, has probably eaten
cafeteria.
Dozens of times or something. That's where I met Darryl Green.
That is funny. That is really, really good. I mean, just the as salt of the earth as they come when it comes to that. I mean, if you were to tell me the odds of a guy from a school that I don't even know if it exists anymore, I'm not sure if Texas A&I still plays football, right? That guy from the small school there is, not a huge player, like 5'9", 5'10", at most, 180 pounds.
He was 83?
Yeah.
He was the same year as all the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Marino and Elway and all those guys.
That guy plays 20 years? Come on. The fact that he was still the fastest guy in the league at probably 38, 39, 40 years old.
Well, he ran a 40. Now, I've said this for so many years that it's dated. It's probably now 10 years ago. But, like, in his 50s, he ran a 40 and was still, like, 4'4", barely. Would have been one of the fastest players in the league. That's insane.
When he I don't remember it because I was so young, but he introduced himself to the league. Washington knew, right? Obviously, they drafted him, selected the guy. But when he introduced himself to the league, when Tony Dorsett, who did not get caught, Tony Dorsett breaks away. That's a touchdown for Tony Dorsett until they played Washington. And Darryl Green came from, like, the other side of the field at the line of scrimmage, covering somebody else entirely, and chased his butt down. And everyone went, what is that? How did that happen?
Right.
Does he have afterburners on his shoes? Like, what? How did this dude do that? Did he get a head start? Did he come off the sideline? Unbelievable.
Commanders going to retire the number 28 organizationally long overdue of Darryl Green, who was kind of, I don't want to say phased out, but had fallen out of being involved with the organization like so many other legendary former players, frankly, because he didn't appreciate the way Dan Snyder did business. And a lot of those wrongs are being righted by this new ownership group. What's your fondest Darryl Green memory? That's what we want to know. We'll open up the phones next. 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are out and about in Leesburg. Our Friday field trip is on the air at Spanky's Shenanigans, where they are now passing out the blackened shrimp like we're at a wedding. On just like they're just walking around.
Yeah.
Like, who wants one? And you better not say no.
And the answer is yes, by the way. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
At weddings, I'm never good at getting the eye of the person passing the delicious stuff. That's always the best thing. It's like, here's the bacon-wrapped shrimp, or here's the bacon-wrapped bacon, or whatever they have, the little shrimps, or the crab shooters, the crab. I can never get them. I'm always like following them around all
awkward. Yeah, I was going to say, you got to get in a good position.
Get in a good spot.
Be over by, like, I always post up right where the door is where they walk out of. You're the first one.
Yeah, I hold the door for them and just pilfer.
Oh, really? Your food out of this door? Who
oh,
knew?
That's so weird.
We're talking Daryl Green. Clary, you want to see if anybody in-house wants to give their fondest Daryl Green memories as we have a large audience today out here at Spanky Shenanigans. Let's hit the phones, though. Dustin in D.C. on Grant and Danny on the Fan. Dustin, what's your favorite Daryl Green moment as we get ready to retire his number in town?
All right, wait, what's going on, Grant? What's up, Danny and everybody? Hey, thank you, y'all did. And hope y'all having a good time. But enjoying those black and I hope it's black and shrimp tacos, if that's the case. But,
they probably do have those. We're just doing the shrimp.
I was going to say, you could put them in a taco. You could put them on the roof. It's like a Dr. Seuss poem. I'm eating them anywhere, man. They're amazing.
Oh, man, me too. I'm right with you. My favorite Daryl Green memory, there was a time when, I think Lee, you mentioned it earlier, when they had training camp in Frostburg. But it was, they had, like, I guess we back then, I guess you still call it a fan experience, how they do now during training camp. So I was probably 10, 11 years old, met Daryl Green, got his autograph, signed my football cards and everything. But the coolest thing that happened was he lined us up, you know, all us were kids. We all lined up on the line, got on the line. We got to race Daryl Green. And, of course, he's, you know, he smoked everybody off the line. You know, I was in my mind, I'm going to tell you, I was right behind him, but. You know,
right.
Yeah.
Half a stride.
The way I would tell that story, thanks for the call, is like you caught a fish. You know, like he only beat me by like 10 feet. Might have been 20 or 30. But every time you tell it, you get a little closer.
Right. And we were running a 10-foot dash, and he beat me by 10 feet.
Shtick aside, though, when you are in a community for 20 years, you don't see this in the modern sports world that we live in. I went to the induction ceremony of Cal Ripken Jr. in Cooperstown for the Hall of Fame. That year he got in, Tony Gwynn got in also, mm-hmm. with the San Diego Padres. Gwynn was a mayor of that town like Ripken was of Baltimore. And unless you are somewhere for your entire career, and it is a lengthy, illustrious career, you do not have the ability to influence people and to have that connection that those guys, that Daryl Green in D.C. has. It's not going to happen over a rookie contract or even two contracts or half of a career. You water it down when you leave. So we won't see this very often. But if you choose to make a real impact like he did, if you choose to be active in the community and to be a real key member of society, you impact so many lives. Like, think about how many people listening probably met him at some point. At an event, yeah. At a speaking engagement, coming to your school. Dozens and dozens and dozens of fans over the years, you know it happened. And hundreds, thousands of people, I'm sure, have their own Daryl Green story.
Yeah, over decades, man, you know?
Derek's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Derek? How are you?
Great, guys. Good to talk to you. You just nailed it right there. I was excited to tell you. First of all, my memory was chasing down Tony Dorsett. I'm sure somebody's mentioned that, right?
Danny made that one just kind of in passing, made mention of that.
Yeah, when he was a rookie, he gave him 10 yards, and he knocked him out of bounds, and I think they ended up only getting a field goal, and it's like, Dorsett was like, whoa, who is this guy?
Yeah, like, how did that happen?
But, yeah, the other part that's just, you just set me right up for is my son's out in Fairfax County about 15 years ago, and he challenged anybody who wanted a piece of him to a sprint, and he basically gave him 10 yards, and he'd slow down, and he just, the last three steps, he'd say, yep. Post, no, baby, you ain't got me.
Yeah, he was like barnstorming, and, it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, he was the freeze Thanks before the freeze in Atlanta. You know what I mean?
Like, who wants to race me? Who wants to come at the king? All right, let's get some temperature of the folks here in-house where we have taken our field trip on the road. We're in Leesburg. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Fred Smoot is with us.
That's Fred Smoot.
Live on site.
That's Smooty's music.
Former Redskins great. We're talking about some of the great moments of Daryl Green's career. I know you can add some color to that because you played with him.
I can.
We'll get to that. But we got a Caps hoodie right here, Smooty.
All right. I'm always with the Caps.
You better be. Two straight wins.
Every team in D.C., I got to say that. I'm with every team in D.C. I'm quite not a Wizard. I'm sorry. I haven't bought in that much when it comes to the Wizards. I can't do it.
Not a Wizards guy.
Can't
All right.
Do it.
Nats, we got you?
No, Nets. I'm totally a Nets.
So if you've
I'm
won
capital.
A championship or you played for them? That's basically what it takes.
Yeah. No, because I love the Caps.
They
I love
won a championship.
The Nets. And I don't need you to win a championship. I just – I need you to be respectable, like you know, just a little bit. And also, everybody like to down the Commander's name. Come on, I've been here for 20 years, walking the streets of D.C., never ran into Gandalf or any other wizard walking the streets of D.C., so all I'm saying is, come on, let's be honest.
We're going to get back to the name. Don't worry about that. All right, so let's see. Sir, tell us your name. Where are you from?
I'm Eric. I'm from Sterling.
Eric, thank you for coming out today. We appreciate it. Go Caps, by the way. Favorite Daryl Green moment, memory?
Favorite Daryl Green moment, definitely 1983 Monday Night Football when he ran down Tony Dorsett. Was incredible.
Hard to top that. Because I just think at that time, as you said, Danny, was it 83 when he did that?
Yeah, his first year.
Rookie year. So D.C. knew what they got. No one around the country even knew who the guy was probably yet.
It was the first game of the season, and Dorsett established as the star. I mean, when he broke through, everybody can jog up for the extra point because he was that fast.
Yeah.
Until that little blur, that 178-pound soaking wet blur ran his behind down, and the whole country went, oh, my God.
Smoothie, when you were a rookie.
I was 4 years old when he ran him down. No, that's what I'm telling you. I was born
and
in 79.
You played with him.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, listen, man, like, longevity, one. Mm-hmm. Production, two. The person off the field, three. It's like God said, you know what? Today I'm gonna make a couple of perfect people on this one right here. I'm gonna make some vintage Americans right now. And Daryl Green popped up. Like, so at the end of the day, man, you gotta realize I was 4 years old when he made that play.
Same here.
And when I got to the team, he was still the fastest man on the team.
I was gonna say, when you were a rookie.
Yes. We did the race.
Was he like year 17, 18 probably? Because he played 20.
19.
Okay, 19.
You're 19.
He could beat you in a race.
No, we had a race. Well, it ended up just me, him, and Champ at the end, and it ended up just Daryl Green.
He beat you and Champ.
Me and Champ.
Oh, wow. That's insane.
Man, the man is fast. He's pure speed. Like, that's why one day I was literally in the meeting room studying some Daryl film, and Champ walked in early, and he was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to study Daryl. He was like, stop that right now. Like, you can't do that. You can't Daryl Green. Like, unless you run a 4-1 up for 240, you can't do what he do because he don't do it like anyone else. And I think that's why him and Coach Schottenheimer had this bumping of the heads because he wanted us to all look uniform, and Daryl just does it his way.
He was like,
that Hall of Fame
I don't
way.
Need you to tell me how to cover.
Well, it was too late. I'm 18 years but, in. Come on, it's too late then.
Let's sneak in one more here. We'll continue to take some thoughts from the folks in the house. Favorite Daryl Green moment, I guess. First, tell us your name, where you're from.
Brian from Leesburg.
Brian, what's up? We are happy to have you out and about today at Spanky Shenanigans. So what's your Daryl Green recollection?
So my first game that I ever attended was the NFC Championship game, the game before they beat the Bills in the Super Bowl. And Daryl Green intercepted a pass and returned it for a touchdown, and we demolished the Lions in that game. It was the game after the seat cushion game for, uh-huh. for the Falcons.
How old were you?
12 or 13.
I mean, so that you'll never not be a fan after that. How could you not be a fan?
No, one of my first memories is Tony Dorsett, right? And then, of course, the memory that Danny brought up of
punt return,
the
man.
Punt return
that
and punt holding return. The ribs and hurdling the guy.
Yeah, I get chills thinking about
amazing.
It.
Amazing. You know, all of them, but I was there. It was my first game, and, you know, that was amazing.
They're up 34-10 in that moment, I think, and he seals it with a pick six.
Yeah, they won 41-10, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Claria, you got one more. We have another Caps hoodie. By the way, the Caps gear this winter is out.
Caps are playing. Yep.
Let's go. 4 points against the West last couple of nights.
I'm Claw. I live here in Leesburg, but I grew up in Berryville.
Okay.
Now, my favorite thing about Daryl Green is that in Berryville, I went to Berryville Baptist Church, and he volunteered freely his time, his money, everything. Like, if we needed help with a fundraiser, even here in Leesburg, he just showed up. He was
That's
always
awesome.
There. Always.
That's like he wanted to be in the community. But then you stay here for 20 years as well. I mean, so he decided, not only am I going to be here, but I'm going to be a part of it. Part of why you get your jersey.
There's a million different ways. There's no wrong way to do it, right? I mean, I suppose, you know, there is a wrong way. But you know what I mean? Like, you could be quiet. You can be by yourself. You could just sort of – or you could do what he did, which is, as you said, just be out and ingratiate yourself to everybody at all times because you're part of the fabric.
G&D on the fan. Fred Smoot is in the house with us. He's going to kick it with us live from Leesburg. We are also going to be talking with an analyst who has Jaden Daniels as his number one quarterback in the NFL already this season right now.
Nothing wrong with that.
His performance as we continue on The Fan.